How much time do I have? 50 minutes plus 10. Okay. Yeah, that's what I figured out. So this is joint work with Jin Lee, to be found on the archive. And so let me define what I'm talking about. So first of all, a rational curve for me will be C, sitting on side, usually on some x. Later on, x will be a K-free surface. Is an integral curve, and I suppose that the normalization of C is P1. So one of the, it's still off. One of the ideas in higher dimensional geometry is that basically the behavior, the quantitative behavior of rational curves determines the birational or the geometry in higher dimensions. And so let me make this precise with a couple of straightforward and easy remarks. So kind of the motto is that rational curves control geometry. Sort of the easiest example one could think of is if x is a curve, then a rational curve, I mean, I can think of it as a map from P1 to x. If this is a genus G curve, and of course I suppose that f is non-trivial, then we all know that clearly the genus of x must be 0, and so x must be P1 itself. So basically said then, I mean, yeah. It's getting more interesting from dimension 2 on, and I should say conjecturally we have the following picture, namely, so now if the dimension is at least 2, then if the Kodaira dimension of x is minus infinity, then conjecturally, and I think this is known up to at most 3, then x is uniruled. And so we have even moving families of rational curves. Making the point that, yeah. Then on the other extreme, if x is of general type, then there is a conjecture due to Church-Lang that predicts that there are kind of just the opposite. Here we have many rational curves. There should be only very few rational curves in the following sense. I mean, we cannot hope for something like finiteness or something. I mean, if you take a threefold of general type and you blow up at one point, you introduce a P2 bundle over. I mean, you find quite a lot of rational curves. So the thing, so Search-Lang conjectured that in that case there exists a Z, a proper closed subvariety of X, such that for all non-trivial maps from P1 to X, so non-trivial, that this map actually factors over that. That is, every rational curve is contained in a proper algebraic subset. As far as I know this conjecture is even known in dimension 2 only in special cases. Is that true? So I think in general it's even open in dimension 2. So the interesting case between these two extremes would be Kodaira dimension 0. What to expect? It's something in between very few and quite a lot. So in Kodaira dimension 2, of course, this is a conference on Calabi-Yau's, but let me start with abelian varieties first. So if X is an abelian variety, then suppose I have a map from P1 to X, then since X is isomorphic to its own Albanese, sort of every map from P1 to an torus, to an abelian variety has to factor over the Albanese variety of P1, which is trivial. And this tells us that an abelian variety does not contain any rational curves at all. On the other hand, we have the following well-known conjecture, namely, if we now stick to dimension two, then the other interesting class of Kodaira dimension zero would be K-free surfaces. So let's say X K-free, so it's projective K-free surface, say over the complex numbers, but it doesn't really matter. That's true in any case. So then the conjecture says there exist infinitely many rational curves on X. Kind of the difficult thing is, of course, since X is not uniruled, there is no way that these rational curves can move. So for every rational curve on a projective K-free surface, so to speak, there has to be a different reason for existence. So what is known? So let me start with the first highly non-trivial result, actually, namely the following theorem due to Bogomolov and Mumford. Which says that if X is a projective K-free, well, they stated it for the complex numbers, but it's true over any field, for every algebraically closed field. I have L a non-trivial and effective line bundle on L. Then there exists a divisor of the following form, sum NICi. In the linear system of L, where the Ni's are non-negative coefficients and the Ci are rational curves. In particular, this shows that every projective K-free surface contains at least one rational curve. So what can we say about infinitely many of them? The next result, which says that we are morally on the right way, due to Chen, who is somewhere here in the audience, I've seen him today at least, says the following, namely, by looking at the moduli space of polarized K-free surfaces and degenerating them, we can kind of degenerate them to union of rational surfaces where we can produce infinitely many rational curves and then degenerate, and then by deforming them back, we find that on a very general K-free surface we find infinitely many. So on a very general K-free surface, I will make this precise in a second. So this is now, we look at the moduli space of polarized, K-free surface, and then very general is meant in the sense outside a countable union of closed subsets. So on a very general K-free surface in M2D, there exists infinitely many K-free surfaces. So this tells us that morally the conjecture we would... Oh, sorry. No. That's the hard part with saying one thing and writing something else. Okay, so that tells already that we are morally on the right way, but the backside of this theorem, it doesn't give even in one example where this could be true. So the next result is, of course, we can't say more for surfaces, for K3 surfaces that come with special structure. So just let me mention two results. Haha, the problem could be the following. Suppose you have a K3 with PKR rank 1. Suppose there's one rational curve, and then every, you know, for L, and then on L tensor L, there is only the rational curve 2C and 3C and 4C. We are really looking for infinitely many distinct rational curves, but thanks for asking. And this is also the problem with these results here, these degeneration techniques. It could happen that all the rational curves collapse to a multiple of a single one. I mean, you wouldn't expect this, but how do you prove such a result? Well, if you have Picard number equal to 2, you could end up with finitely many rational curves, and then by some stupid coincidence, all of them in all linear systems also happen to be just weird linear combinations of these finitely many. Yeah, so thank you for pointing that out. Of course, we learned today, I mean, there are many nice... So there is like... infinitely many rational curves is, for example, known if X is an elliptic K3 surface. Whereas here, I mean elliptic not in the sense as Noam Elkies defined it this morning, I don't assume that there is a section, genus 1 vibration. So if X is an elliptic K3 surface, then there exist infinitely many rational curves. The idea is to produce a multi-section of the vibration, which is rational, and then you find another multi-section which is relatively, that has infinitely order in the group order, and then you can shift around this multi-section. I mean, but it works for elliptic ones. Also, I should say there are more examples. For example, if the automorphism group of X is infinite, one can show that there exist infinitely many rational curves. And as you pointed out, there are results, like if you look at, for example, at Kovacs' paper on the cone of curves of a K3 surface, and you look through the cases, then you see that in many cases that you find a non-polyhedral part in the cones of effective divisors, and that gives you, again, because you find in every linear system a rational curve, you can produce infinitely many rational curves there. So I should say that for special surfaces, for special K3 surfaces, the situation is quite nice. I should also say that if you have a K3 surface whose Picard rank is at least 5, then this surface is automatically elliptic. Therefore, for example, we see the really difficult part is what happens if we don't have one of these K3 surfaces that have these, you know, what do we do in the desert? What do we do if we have a K3 surface, say, of Picard rank 1? There is no geometry to play with, no symmetries. So I should say there are a couple of few more cases, but it doesn't lead us anywhere if we don't, you know. There is no reason why we should find infinitely many rational curves on a K3 surface with Picard rank 1.
An example of X L ample such that there's no irreducible rational curve in L?
I don't know. Maybe not. I'm not sure. But it's sort of. I mean, it's of course it's a natural question, but Yeah. So sorry, no, I don't know. But it's a reasonable question. I mean, yeah. So the idea is, what do we do now? And so there is now, I want to outline an approach which is due to Bogomolov, Hassett, and Schinkel, and that was then pushed further by Jun Li and myself. And so the idea is that you reduce modular finite characteristics where it's easier to produce rational curves, and then of course the main difficulty is how to get them back from characteristic P to characteristic zero. So this is sort of the approach via reduction modulo P. So first of all, we have the following reduction. Namely, it suffices to prove that if we are interested in the conjecture over C, it suffices to prove it for K3 surfaces that are defined over Q bar. Let me not go too deep into that. If you have a variety over, if you have a K3 surface over C, then of course it's defined over a finite extension of a finitely generated extension of Q, and then you can find all these specialized, I mean, you can spread it out to some family over Q. You find all these, you find all specializations over Q bar, and if you find sufficiently many rational curves, sort of infinitely many rational curves in the specializations, you can by a deformation argument, you can produce them also. On the surface you started with, sort of from a specialization to a generalization, this is not so difficult. But you know, it requires a couple of arguments, and kind of, sort of, the interesting case is, what do we do over Q bar? And so, let me now come to the key observation, which is, I mean, I think this was seen. So the key observation is as follows. Suppose we have X over K, a K-free surface over a number field. Then, and suppose for simplicity that rho of X is already the sinus. So that the Picard rank, I mean, by enlarging the field slightly by passing to a finite extension, I may assume that there are no further. The Picard rank of X is the same as the Picard rank over K bar. Then I can choose a model say curly X over some a smooth projective model over the ring of integers of K. Of course I have to localize at some prime so that the model has all the nice properties you want to have. And then reduce modulo primes P if we can look at the reductions modulo P, which, you know, say this is kind of now K3 over some finite field FQ. Then now comes the first if. But let me not go into these. Let me just outline the main idea and then say how to ship your way around this. If the Tate conjecture, on which I will comment on a second, holds true for XP, so the Tate conjecture is a conjecture in the arithmetic of K3 surfaces over finite fields. So if this is true, then the rank of the Picard number, the geometric Picard number, so I have to pass to an algebraic closure of FQ, is even. So this is becoming. I think, I'm not sure, I mean, I think it, I mean, Bogomolov, Hassett, and Schinkel attribute this to, I think, to Swinnert and Dyer or Artin. Sort of, this observation was made already, was already known for some time. So what's the reason? The reason is the following. The Tate so if you look at second etale cohomology of a K3 surface defined over, or an arbitrary surface defined over a finite field, then of course we have a churn map from the Picard to the second etale cohomology. And what the Tate conjecture says is that the image of that map is completely characterized by the action of Frobenius on etale cohomology. Now, Poincaré duality tells us that secondly, the Galois action on etale cohomology is semi-simple, and we know that the eigenvalues of Frobenius, if alpha is an eigenvalue, then Q over alpha is 1. That tells us that those eigenvalues of Frobenius that are not roots of unity come in distinct pairs. Because of that, but then we see that, but from that you can actually deduce, and using the fact that the second Betti number of a K3 surface is also an even number, you can in the end deduce that the number of Frobenius eigenvalues on etale cohomology for eigenvalue plus 1, which is what the Tate conjecture predicts is precisely what is coming from the churn class of line bundles, that these numbers of eigenvalues must be even. And by the Tate conjecture, this tells us that the Picard rank must be even. So this is a very specific phenomenon that we are exploiting here. This is something which is really special for surfaces over finite fields. So how does this help us? So I will comment, I mean, I should say the Tate conjecture hasn't been completely established for K3 surfaces, but it's okay for K3 surfaces of finite height. And we can always find this is a result of Bogomolov-Zahin and independently of Yoshirajan, that we can always find infinitely many primes for which the Tate conjectures are okay. So this is not such a big issue. So I should also mention this. So there exists, after possibly enlarging K, but only a finite amount, there exists a set P of primes of K such that the reduction X mod P is ordinary. And there is another result I think for ordinaries it's completely due to Niegaard that ordinary K3 surfaces in characteristic, I think he has to assume at least 5. Pardon? It's always okay. Oh yeah, that's Niegaard Ogus if they do it for the finite height case. Yes, thanks. Yeah, you're right. In characteristic P, so this is unconditionally ordinary surfaces satisfy the Tate conjecture. So what these two results basically tell us is that we can always find infinitely many primes such that the Picard rank of the reduction is an even number. So how does this help? Pardon? What did I write? Maybe I said it and didn't write it up. It's a set primes of density 1. So this is even more than infinite. It is infinite, but it's, you know. So, where are we now? So the idea is now, we have in any case that the Picard group of the generic fiber injects into the Picard like that. So the observation we make is that if the Picard rank, say, of xk bar is odd, for example, if it is 1, then there exists infinitely many primes, or infinitely many places, I should rather say, places P of k such that this injection is so that the rank really goes up. I hope one can read this. So I should say this is a kind of, I mean, for people in complex geometry, this result shouldn't come as a surprise. For example, it's always known that if you have a family of, say, K3 surfaces, a non-trivial family of K3 surfaces, then you have this jumping in Picard numbers. I think this is due to Ogiso, or I'm not sure. So this is a kind of arithmetic manifestation of this. But I should say, there are results of Morlick and Ponen showing that maybe things are not as easy as one might think in the arithmetic world. So this has to be taken with a little, you know. But in any case, we have this jumping of the Picard numbers. But on the other hand, we also have this result of Bogomolov and Mumford, which tells us that whenever you have an effective line bundle, on a non-trivial effective line bundle on a K3 surface, you can find a section whose support is a sum of rational curves. And this shows us that if you now start with a K3 surface of odd Picard rank and reduces modulo p, then for infinitely many primes, you find this jumping in Picard numbers, but also you must have an infinite number of rational curves showing up that haven't been there before. But of course, they lie in classes that cannot possibly lift to characteristic zero because this comes from the jumping. But nevertheless, there are already the infinite number of rational curves we are looking for are there, modulo p. So we come to the following proposition. So if x over k is a projective k3, of odd Picard rank, say we fix also polarization, then there exist infinitely many places P of K, and rational curves, let's call them CP, well, as again, I may have to pass to the algebraic closure to see them. And such that, what do I want to say? That this number, for example, the intersection number, is unbounded. But also I should say, the line bundle associated to CP does not lie in the image of reduction. So here they are, the infinitely many rational curves we are looking for, almost at hand. So what is the idea to get them back to characteristic zero? I should say this is, to make this work, it's mainly due to Bogomolov. Hassett and Schinkel again. Well, the thing is now, we look at the moduli space of stable maps. Of genus zero and with no marked points. Okay, for a family of K3 surfaces. Usually this is denoted 0, 0, genus and number of marked points, which is of expect, in the case of K3 surfaces, this is of expected dimension -1. Which says that if you have if you have such a family, then you would then this moduli space has dimension at least dimension s minus 1 over the base. So you have this moduli space. So of expected dimension, relative expected dimension. -1. And in fact, there is something called in characteristic zero, I think this is called Rahn's semi-regularity theorem, that tells you that there is a kind of reduced obstruction theory which pushes it up to expected dimension zero. And this can be justified purely algebraically in the way by saying that if you allow non-algebraic deformations as well. So there is a way around this, and the upshot, why am I saying all this, is the following. Let me see that I get the paper right. That, how does it help this space? Now again, a big if. If we start with our curve CP sitting on site, inside our, so we take one of our curves in characteristic P, one of those curves we would ideally want to lift to characteristic zero. We know that this is not possible because simply the line bundle O of CP doesn't lift. But of course everything is polarized, so we can look at our polarization. Then of course, if I take a sufficiently large integer, then n times h minus cp will be effective, and I can represent it by a sum of rational curves. Again, using Bogomolov Mumford, we can write so these are rational curves. So this looks already much better than we know that the polarization exists in characteristic zero. And the idea is, well, we have our desired curve in characteristic P. We have the sum of rational curves where we have no control over these coefficients. And this is somewhat crucial in what follows. But in any case, we can represent this cycle on our K3 surface in characteristic P by a stable rational map. Stable rational map F And before people start complaining, I mean, this moduli space of stable maps, it does exist in quite large generality. What we really need is only its existence. We don't need any nice properties. If you are working in characteristic P, it will only exist as an Artin stack. So one of the nice things is that, you know, the stabilizers, there could be some infinitesimal problems. I mean, there is no reason why it should be representable by the linear Mumford stack or something. So there might be, but what we really only need is it does exist, and it still has kind of the right expected dimension, because this is a kind of general phenomenon which doesn't need sort of, it does exist as an sort of as an Artin stack. So we represent this cycle by a stable map of genus zero. So if we knew, now comes the big if. And this, instead of, I mean, we have this if already here with the Tate conjecture, but there was like this nice way of getting around this. But this if turns to be out a much more severe problem. If we had that the dimension of this moduli space at F were zero, then it would in fact follow by this dimension estimates that the stable map would extend over the whole family. So in particular, that would mean if, I mean, that would, I would mean, well, you do the deformation theory. It's H1 theta minus H2 theta. This, yes. But kind of, it's not as bad as you might think, because as you know, the moduli space, the formal moduli space of K3s is 20-dimensional. And so if you think about it, you have this divisor along which your line, your polarization can only. And so, basically what you're saying, and what I'm going to say about, is that it has relative dimension zero. But if you do the, I mean, if you do the expected dimension in terms of deformation theory, H1 minus H2, you get minus one. And basically it says if you have a stable rational map like this, and the moduli space happens to be zero dimensional at this space, then it will extend over the whole family. And in our case, since we have a family, our family is something which lives over the ring of integers, and we write that down, that basically means we can lift. What does that mean? That means that our CP, probably together with some of these curves here, which I don't have an idea what they are, that these will form a single rational curve in characteristic zero. So we find in characteristic zero a rational curve that specializes to CP plus some junk. But that means that, as I said, these intersection numbers, I should have it here. This can only go up if something like this happens. It's an ample polarization. So if I have a curve in characteristic zero that specializes to our CP plus something, then the intersection number with this lifted curve must be at least the one H dot CP. So we find all these rational curves having higher and higher intersection with the polarization. And as I said, this set here has, I mean, these numbers here are unbounded. And that would establish eventually infinitely many rational curves. So it remains to show that, you know, the moduli space here is zero-dimensional. So people might object, so what's the problem? I mean, we know that rational curves don't move on a K-free surface. I mean, at least when we are over characteristic zero. The problem is something which is called multiple covers. Namely, suppose we have the following. So kind of here, now this is the problem. Suppose we have, say, the nicest of all worlds, we have a smooth rational curve on a we have this. Then we have the cycle. And assume that this, that the coefficient in front of the P1 is at least 2. Then, for example, we can represent it via a map P1 goes to P1, which is an n-to-1 cover. So this is, and then of course F lower star P1 is n times P1. And it turns out that this is a perfectly stable map, but it turns out that nevertheless it allows one parameter or even, one parameter deformations. So the moduli space of stable maps of M00 at this particular F is not zero dimensional. If this is not zero dimensional, then our dimension estimate, which says that if you have a kind of, if we have a K3 over a ring of integers, a family of K3s over the integers, which is a one dimensional family, then we know that the moduli space is at least one dimensional, but this one dimension could be literally eaten up by this kind of, this kind of deformations that we don't want to have. And because of that, we cannot argue anymore that this map lifts or that it extends to the family. That's the point why I'm keeping and saying that the relative dimension is only zero. We don't have any kind of, we don't have any free space. If this here moves, if the dimension here is not zero, we don't get the lifting and we don't, and the whole argument breaks down. Nevertheless, we have the following result. Attribute this properly. This is again due to Bogomolov.
So if all the NRs were, if I knew that all the NRs were 1, there would be no problem.
Thank you. You're taking the words right out of my mouth. I say, if we knew that we can represent, like for example, if the NIs were all 1, then I think there should be a way. But how do you, the problem, however, is, how do you get these, this curve sum NIRI that is highly implicit because it comes simply out of this, there exists a sufficiently high multiple such that, and we have no control over the rational curves. Nevertheless, what Bogomolov, Hassett, and Schinkel did is that if X is a K3 over the complex numbers whose Picard group is which is of Picard rank 1, and H squared is equal to 2, then we know that such K3 surfaces admit a 2-to-1 map to P2, and there is an involution on them. And using that involution, you can make sure that these coefficients sort of, you can put yourself into a situation where these NIs are equal to 1, and then they can lift. However, I mean, that makes particular use of the fact that you have this involution. And in general, I mean, as we already learned this morning, the generic K3 surface has Picard rank 1 and trivial automorphism group. There is nothing like that that we can use in general. So what we have to find, we have to somehow find a way. Oh, I got 5 more minutes. That's great. We have to find a way to represent CP plus something by a rigid stable map, by one where rigid is meant in the sense that I allow infinitesimal deformation. So, I mean, that the dimension of the moduli space is zero. So how do you do this? Definition. Since I keep on forgetting this lesson. So, if we have a polarized K3, then a rigidifier is an irreducible, or is a rational irreducible, let me just to make it reduced, I mean, I already defined it to be that way, to be irreducible and reduced, but let me just to make this point here. Irreducible and reduced rational curve with at most nodes as singularities. So is an image that makes sense. Let's call it R, like rigidifier, and say inside so it shall be an ample curve. It shall live in some multiple of the ample class of the polarization. And then we have the following proposition, which justifies the name rigidifier, namely, given an arbitrary cycle of rational curves, some MICI, where X is a K-free surface, well, either over the complex numbers, or we have to do this also in characteristic P, and then we have to assume that the surface in question is not super singular. So, non-super singular. So if I have such a, so here's no condition on the coefficients, so they can be arbitrarily high, and these are rational curves. So this is a K-free. R, a rigidifier. Then, for some m bigger or equal to zero, maybe we don't need it at all, who knows, m times r plus the sum MICI can be represented by a rigid stable map. Let me, since I'm running out of time, simply draw a picture or paint a picture in the air why this is true. This is true for the following reason. The idea is if you have some, I mean, as already pointed out, the main problem is if we have multiplicities. If this R, our curve, I mean, this is an ample curve, so it will intersect every component of C. So if R is different from C, we can, like, and we have like 5 times C, we can simply add C 5 times, so we can replace something like this by, if I draw a picture like that. So the main problem, is a rigidifier able to rigidify itself? So what happens if the curve we started with is a multiple of the rigidifier itself? Then, and then we use the fact that since we have only nodes as singularity, so if we have something like that, we can represent it by a rigid, by a stable map, but now this point here maps to this node, and we can make sure that they both move into different, that the tangent directions in the image are different. And then you can, I mean, what I'm saying is a kind of a combinatorial argument. You have to think about it for a second. But then you see that the node has to stay in every deformation because the arithmetic genus is preserved in families. And so there is no way, I mean, you can see that this whole thing stays fixed, and this kind of, and this problem of multiple covers can be avoided by that. Sort of, it's a somewhat technical argument, and it's kind of in the heart of the whole thing, that we, having a curve with only nodes as singularities, we can actually rigidify stable maps. And using this, unfortunately, I should say, one of the technical problems is that there is no reason why any of our reductions in modulo P should contain a rigidifier. But nevertheless, if I have a K-free surface with odd Picard rank, for example, Picard rank 1, I still have to point that out, then X contains infinitely many rational curves. And so the idea of proof, of course, is that, you know, we can reduce ourselves to the number field case, then we can find a model. Then we find all these reductions modulo p, which are ordinary, so that the Tate conjecture holds. We get these curves of high degree. Then what we have to do, unfortunately, we have to move inside. So there exists a divisor along which O of CP extends. Sort of that. Of course, this divisor will not hit our originally generic fiber, but at least it extends. And since we can do this for all p, we can show that we can always find so that a small deformation, that we can deform ourselves into a surface nearby. Let's call this now YP. C is being deformed, but still, you know, by openness of everything, still an reduced rational curve. And there exists a rigidifier here. And then what we can do is, I mean, everything is polarized. Then on this surface nearby, we can do the following. We can take a sufficiently multiple of our polarization so that the CP primed plus some junk that we cannot control lies inside the multiple of the polarization. Then we add our rigidifier sufficiently many times to represent this by a rigid stable map of genus zero. And by the dimension estimates, this stable map extends to the whole space, thereby achieving the lifting we are looking for. It's a kind of indirect thing. But eventually, this is what establishes infinitely many rational curves in the case of odd Picard rank. And I think I finish here.